Today is October the 12th, 2010, and we're here to have a conversation with Professor John Subak Sharp. Good evening.
Good evening.
Can I ask you, first of all, when and where you were born, and was this your name at birth?
I was born in Vienna in 1924, on the 14th of February 1924, and my name, and I have the birth certificate here if you want to see it, was Herbert Subak, S-U-B-A-K, and that's the family name. The Sharp came later, and I can tell you how this came about, but is this the right moment to tell you?
I was just asking you about the street where you live, John. Could you explain what it's called?
That is, Subakova is in Trebić. I never lived there, or at least one day, long after the war with the family. The street, shabby little street now, but still the main street in the what was the Jewish quarter, was called Subakova. Then the Nazis changed the name to some extent, totally away from it.
Well, when later we'll come to that, when I joined the army, and at that time, this was in 1944, several other Jewish boys had volunteered at roughly the same time, and we were encouraged. We were suggested it would be better if we adopted an English name or a British name in case we were either captured or killed, and in our case it was particularly in case our parents were still alive. We didn't know that they had already been killed at that time. So my brother, who is, although he's younger, he had joined the army somewhat earlier, had also came to Scotland first, and that was the first time we came to Scotland. He came to Maryhill Barracks, and here he picked the name Sharp, which was very similar in certain ways, same number of letters and so on. And it was obvious to me that the only reasonable thing to do is to take the same name a few months after Gerald had been. The Subak I took back into my name before we got married, so that Subak Sharp starts from that moment onward. It's Subakova. Mm. So this is where the family had a business, which at that time was mainly involved with leather.
Second in the Jewish part of the town.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. The Jewish part is quite separate, the other side of the river to the main town.
Did all your family move to Vienna, or was it just your...
Well, my father moved to Vienna. My mother came from another part, actually from Vienna. They were... It's the Brühl family. And they got married after the war in 1919. They had a daughter who unfortunately died of peritonitis, I understand. There's quite a long, small child before I was born, and she's buried there in the Brühl cemetery parts.
So tell us then, you came to here because you were part of the Kinder transport. Can you tell us how that came about?
Surely, yes. Things got worse and worse in Vienna, and you have enough information about that that I don't need to go into great details about that. And my mother became very frightened and worried about what would happen to the children. And she heard about a man whose name was Musikant, believe it or not, who unknown to us and who had helped other people, was interested in the refugee children's movement, apparently. And he found a family, or at least a married couple, who had no children. Their name was Peskin. He was David Peskin, and she was Dorothy. And they were Jewish. Jewish. I'm not sure whether Dorothy had become Jewish. Anyway, they didn't really know much about children, and particularly young 14 or 15-year-old children. But they put down these 50 pounds that had to be put down for each child to guarantee that the child would not become a burden to the British taxpayer. And we managed to get onto the Kinder transport,
And so I left Vienna and my brother and I together, and in January the 10th, and we arrived in Harrischhofen, and we finally got on the 12th of January.
Well, no, I've got the letters. John was never followed up by any religious thing, no refugee thing. John was never followed up. In fact,
it was after I'd gone to the farms.
No, actually, we have a thing from the refugee children saying they have no record of him, except that he has, of course, his candidate. Mm-hmm. These are the letters sent by a Mr. Musicant saying to Dear Mr. and Mrs. Peskin, enclosed, please find two photos as promised. If I hear anything further, I will communicate with you. Kind regards, yours sincerely, Simon Musicant. And this is sent on the 22nd of the 12th to Peskins. Then you come the letter from the Hampstead Garden Suburb Care Committee for Refugee Children in conjunction with the World Movement for the Rescue of Children from Germany, British Inter-Aid Committee. Right? Nothing else. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Peskin, 61 Audley Road, we are very grateful for the generosity you've shown in offering a home to Gerhard and Herbert Zuberg of Vienna 3, Paracelsusgasse. We would be glad if you would communicate with his or her parents, but ask you to be extremely careful not to mention anything about conditions in Germany or anything which might in the slightest degree annoy the German authorities. And the postmark on the envelope is 9:30 a.m. on January the 6th, 1939, and it came from Golders Green, and you left on the 10th. So John was never, ever, ever followed up. And there's a synagogue chambers, Norris Lane. We've never been able to contact them. No official Jewish thing. Are you with me?
Yes. Do you think they maybe mislaid your records?
No, they don't.
They say the kinder transport people. But
you've got a piece of paper that has my photograph.
Oh, yes.
My father was in. That's my father there as a Oberleutnant in the Austrian army. He was a cavalry officer. He was in Ulanen. Do you know?
We have a picture in the hall of him being decorated by the emperor in the field.
Oh, my goodness. And how did these pictures survive?
Some of them, not all of them, but some of them were kept. Were kept by a, not related, but by marriage-related, through my cousin's marriage-related family, and they had a big box, including some of the things that my parents obviously stored there so that something would be done, because they had to leave. They were thrown out eventually. I heard it much later, of course, out of their flat, given 24 hours to leave the flat, move to another place where they stayed for a while. And then eventually they were transported. The Germans were very, very careful to document everything. So I know exactly the date when the transport.
We know the number of the transport that they were taken on.
And
we know everything.
We know where it went, to Riga, and they were abgemeldet from. You speak enough German to say. Abgemeldet from Vienna, and not yet neugemeldet. So, but in other words, what really happened, I found it much later out through my cousin. But they were sent by train to Riga, stopped just before, and they had already graves, not graves, but the big ditches were prepared and were all shot. And his parents were in a different transport a little bit later. And he tells me, and I did not know exact details of this, but they were meant to go to Itzbeker. But they were gassed in the railway carriages, in the carriages that they were transported on.
And who was that?
That was our cousin.
Your cousins.
Apparently, where Sam got the name, and I can give you that, and their number, on a transport in early 42. My cousin's parents, who lived in the same house but then were parted, were transported also, have the information about that. But May, April, I think, of the same year, they were sent, my cousins, to Itzbeker. That is known, that was a concentration camp. And so on. My parents were sent to Riga, and apparently on arrival, without going into the town at the railway, they had already dug the graves. That's what my cousin tells me. And the people were shot and burned. And there is no clear evidence of where my parents were. I wanted to go to Riga because my cousin knew Riga from before. Initially, he escaped to Riga, and that was fine. That was before this all happened. And he strongly advised me not to go because there was nothing there. There's apparently a small monument is the wrong thing, a note or something. Not where they were shot or something, but in the woods there where they shot other people. There were a lot of people shot. And that's, unfortunately, I've nowhere to go to know that my parents actually were murdered. I've got the date, I've got the good evidence, clear evidence, what transport they were on, and if you want that, I can find it, although it's difficult. It's from Austria, they actually sent it, and that's really all I had. And of course, there was no further letters, no card on arrival or anything like that. Just it all stopped, in, as far as I was concerned, in 42, where people were murdered. And Riga and its speaker, now Auschwitz and so on, are all on that for everybody to see if you want to see it, but without any explanation rather than...
In Vienna.
In Vienna, in the first district. It is in the area where the Gestapo building was there, so I'm told.
Were you interested in science when you were a little boy in Austria?
Not particularly. Certainly not biological sciences, because we had a teacher in the gymnasium who was known as Wurzensäppel. I don't know if you can read it. It's sort of a... It's like calling somebody clodhopper. I mean, it's not a literal translation. He was totally uninteresting. He brought in a stuffed animal or so on.
And muttered.
And muttered. He had a beard, you're absolutely right. That's why he was called Wurzensäppel. So I had no interest, and I'm sure I would either have been a lawyer or would have been directed towards it, or medical.
But did you say what your father did?
Engineer.
He was an engineer.
Not mechanical, building engineer.
Mm. More of a surveying engineer.
We're talking of almost a different century. Mm-hmm. Things have changed considerably since then. But he was building sugar beet factory. You know, they were extracting sugar from beets, and he was building Dürrenkrut and places like that. He was involved in building. But he was junior at that time, and so he worked for a bigger outfit. And I don't know very much about it. I mean, he was a remarkable man in other ways. He was an engineer who rarely used a slide rule at that time. He did it in his head. He was an excellent mathematician. He taught me quite a bit at that time. I was not very good at Latin at school, you know. And this is almost just before Hitler came in and so on. And eventually my mother complained, so my father came to me. Now, he can't have touched Latin for 50 years at least. And he said, okay, he took Caesar's De Bello Gallico, he opened it at the fourth chapter, never got there at all, and he translated. And so he spent the next hour or so with me with translating. By sheer accident, the next day, the Latin exercise that we had started one paragraph after where we started, and it had continued for another paragraph. And the Latin teacher said to me, I had a very good marker, said to me, I can't understand it. I thought you must have been copying from somebody else, but there was nobody sitting near you.
Going back to your Jewishness, because I don't think we've touched on that, it was the cause of all your troubles in the first place. Once you came to Britain, I think Barbara said before, you've always seen yourself as Jewish. Do you think that's because of what happened?
Sure. Because of that, and the family was Jewish. Mm. And my father, both my mother and my father were Jewish. Mm. And my father was not religious, so he went to the synagogue on three holidays, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. And actually, in the last year, just before Hitler came in, I was already getting bigger, you know, nearly old enough to go. I went with him and his brother to the Seitenstetten Temple. I don't know if you know it. It's the one that they didn't burn during the Kristallnacht. The reason they didn't burn it, because it was so built in that it would have set fire.
Destroyed a lot of the other houses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we never kept a kosher house, and he was pleased and proud of being Jewish, but he was not religious, and he was not really very much involved in Jewish. Most of our friends were Jewish, but they were all very similar to us.
Did you know any of the people in Glasgow? Because like, my mother-in-law was from Vienna, and I would say that her life was very much the same as well.